It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
For Langoliers, his second home run of the year, the 1-0. Swing and a high fly ball into center field. Leote going back, still going back to the track. He looks up and it's gone. Langoliers has a two-homer game. This one ties the score at two.
Hixey with the call, and it ended up, of course, being three. Evan Carter could have been the hero with his first home run of the year, but Langoliers has us worrying about Jose Leclerc as the Rangers lose Game 1 to Oakland last night on this radio station. Game 2 this evening, 6:30 pregame, first pitch at 7 o'clock. We are now joined by the host of the Brett Boone Podcast and Odyssey Original, featuring the most notable names in baseball and all around sports every week, Brett Boone on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Brett, you ready for the trivia question of the day?
What do you got for me?
All right, so Shea Langeliers had three home runs last night. Who has more three home run games, you or your brother Aaron, Aaron?
I believe we're tied at two apiece.
Well done.
Wow.
Well
done. Do you know the years of yours?
I can tell you the team. One of mine was, No, I can't. One of mine was against the Reds, and one of mine was against the Chicago Cubs. I know that because it was before the repo. One was in 1998 because it was the year Sammy and McGuire were slugging it out. I hit the third homer I hit that day was foul, but by a good 5 feet. I knew it. Brown, I went back to the batter's box. I looked at the umpire. He's signaling homer. I couldn't believe it. I ran around the bases. I'm sitting in the dugout. They're getting together, umpires. They didn't have replay back then. I mean, it's clearly foul. And he says, no. Oh. We confirmed. The third base umpire confirmed it's a home run. Wow. And they threw the next pitch to the next hitter. As soon as they do that, it's in the books. And I got away with one. So I can give you that, but I don't know the team I was on.
All right.
Well, 98, I had to be on the Reds. And then when I did it against the Reds, it had to be Padres or Braves.
Okay, so in 98, September 20th, that was my birthday. Well, you did it for the Reds against the Cubs. And then in 2000, Padres and Cincinnati. That was the
now,
game.
Were you, June 23rd. Were you definitely trying to hit the third after the first two? No doubt, right?
No, I guess it's in your mind, and you're thinking maybe, but by that point in my career, I'd learned that, I probably tried to hit a home run in my pro career early on, including the minor leagues, maybe 50 times and maybe once I did it. So it's kind of beating your head against the desk. It's like, do you realize that every time you think that, or put it in your brain in any capacity, it never happens. And since then, I'll tell you, 95% of my home runs that I ever hit, it was like you hit it, and I was surprised. Like, whoa, I didn't mean to do that. I'm trying to have a good at-bat. So, yes, in that particular situation, I think I was thinking, three would be nice.
Brett, we have closer issues with the Rangers. Yes, as a player, is that a helpless feeling when you're a position player and it's like you've done all you can, you hand it over, but you don't know what's going to happen?
Yes, but at the same time, I watched it a year ago. We watched this team win a World Series a year ago, and who was the biggest part of that bullpen? Leclerc, and the way he brought it together and just did it time after time after time, and it wasn't always smooth 1-2-3. There's some tough sledding for him out of the gate. Obviously the rest of the pen's doing a really good job for him. But this is something he's going to have to work through. I have to admit a year ago because today when that postseason, especially, it's so long, it's so rigorous. And I was overly impressed what Leclerc did, just kind of kind of merged on the scene and did an unbelievable job. I was pleasantly surprised for the Rangers. But I don't know. I was, like I said, I didn't expect him to be dominant the way he did down the stretch and really be the anchor in that bullpen. He did it. Now we're starting a fresh season. You got to do it again. That's why there's not too many top tier bona fide, you know, big time closers out there. It's something that's not easy to do. And I don't know. Hopefully he'll get through this.
Brett, we were talking about earlier today the idea that, you know, the Rangers have just been ravaged by injuries to the rotation. They're missing Spores now. They're missing, you know, half their starting infield. When you look at that, it's easy for you know, the team messaging to be next man up, next man up. At some point, though, that feels like it's got to take a toll. How tough is that for a clubhouse to just put your head down and say, well, we got to make it work while we're missing really key contributors?
It's a lot easier when you're winning some games. I know they lost three in a row, but you look at that division right now, that division's off to a real tough start. I consider that a real talented division. And you got Texas and Anaheim at the top at 6-5. So I think they're looking around that clubhouse, especially with Boach being the head of it. He's going, look, guys, we got a lot of injuries right now, from Jung to, you know, your DeGrom and Scherzer, who are a huge part of that rotation. If they get back to the rotation and get healthy, Nathaniel Lowe, Melee, Sports, you mentioned that at the top. It's like they're doing all this. They're still just fine. It's 2 weeks into the season. They're sitting at top of the division, kind of holding serve. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Until you get these guys back, get these guys healthy, if you can just kind of survive and give yourself a chance, you're fine. So in that clubhouse right now, these guys are kind of looking around going, look how many guys we have injured, and we're still fine. We're atop the division. So I don't think there's any panic in that clubhouse right now. It's just get through these times, find a way to win some games, and just survive. Because hopefully when you get everybody back, everybody healthy, you're going to be the team that you were a year ago. I still look at in the offensive categories with all the injuries and people being banged up, they're still top across the board like they were a year ago. Pitching's doing fine. With the exception of Leclerc, that's had a little bit of a tough time. Bradford's done a nice job. Evaldi has really turned into a bona fide number one starter. And they're holding serve right now. And that's sometimes all you can expect to do. This season is so long, 162 games. You can't just start to finish be clicking. Very few years and very few special years you do that start to finish. There's dog days where you got to get through some injuries, and you can find a way to get some wins when you're down and you're not healthy or even close to being healthy, like this Rangers team. That's a win for them.
Brett Boone joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on 105.3 The Fan. Your thoughts on the Oakland situation, and did you dread playing there?
Well, quite the contrary. Everybody thinks, yeah, Oakland, probably if I look at the stadiums now, that and Tampa, two worst venues in Major League Baseball. They've done such a good job with all these state-of-the-art new ballparks they've built. To be honest with you, I loved going to Oakland because I hit well there. And if you talk to any hitter, where you do good, you don't care how bad the city is. You don't care if it's your least favorite hotel. You don't like the food in the city, the people. If you get hits, that's your favorite place. So I love going to Oakland. I always hit well there, just like Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, you're playing in front of, you know, small crowds like you are in Oakland now. But I hit well there too. So I like both of the what are considered probably the bottom two venues in all of Major League Baseball. You know, Oakland, one time when I first got to the big leagues in the early 90s, Oakland was beautiful. I mean, it was kind of like a Dodger stadium. They didn't have that renovated for football, you know, addition. It was open from home plate. You looked out on the horizon, and it was kind of like Dodger Stadium. Once they converted it into football baseball, it kind of took a bad turn. Now it's just outdated. I mean, the facility, you go in the clubhouse. Wrigley Field and Fenway have nicer places now than Oakland, and we all know how old those are. They're iconic venues, but even the amenities when you get there. So yeah, it's bad. They're going to go to Sacramento. Oakland's just in a I don't know what they are. They're in a free fall. I mean, the organization doesn't know which way it's going. It's got a $40 million payroll. They're going to go play in a minor league stadium next year. I don't even know how that's legal, how you can do that. I guess they're going to, you know, I guess they're going to get all the specs up to status quo for Major League Baseball. You know, there's certain things you have to have, certain level of quality of lights you have to have. So they have to redo that at a minor league facility. I don't know. For me, it's a mess right now. I've got a son-in-law that plays on that Oakland A's team, so he deals with it on a daily basis. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Do you think – you'll hear musicians in the comics say they love going back to their roots, playing in dive bars every now and then. Just, you know, do you think opposing players, visiting players that have been in the league for 15 years might actually like going to a minor league stadium and just say, hey, this is kind of cool, it's a novelty?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, there's just some big leagues is, you know, just the grounds crew alone. Now, if the Oakland A's are playing there, I'm sure they're going to bring their grounds crew with them. But that's the one thing that's awesome about the big leagues versus the minor leagues. Now, in recent years, the minor leagues have gotten much better and are much better maintained than they used to be. But a big league field, you walk out there and it's just every piece of grass is in place. They've got 15 guys that are full-time maintenance guys that work on the field to get that. But I never like going back to a minor league field. The backdrops usually were under, you know, they didn't kind of live up to snuff. So the big right-handed pitcher, his arm would come over the backstop in the white sky and he'd lose the ball. I didn't like anything about going to a minor league venue, but I'm sure if the A's are going to go there, they're going to make sure everything's up to snuff as far as quality, big league level quality.
Brett, the story that has taken over Major League Baseball this week are the pitching injuries. Your thoughts on it? You talk to a lot of people, obviously, with your podcast. Your thoughts on it and a possible solution?
It is amazing, and I've been banging my head against the desk. Why does everybody, and it seems like it's a daily thing. I mean, just recently, Pivetta, Valdez, they go down. You know, Strider, Bieber are the headliners this year that have gone down. Giolito, I mean, the list goes on and on. Bautista, Hendricks, two of the big-time closers in Major League Baseball. And it's kind of become an epidemic. And I've been thinking about it. You know, is it how they train in between starts? I had Rick Griffin, who's a long time. He was my trainer in Seattle. He did it for 30 years, and he has his thoughts. I've talked to teammates of mine that come up. Well, they throw this heavy ball now, and we used to throw the heavy ball, but they really train with the heavy ball. You know, a couple of my teammates think that's the problem. Here's what I think. I've listened to doctors, and that's where I'm going to. I think the way we're brought up now as young kids, and the youth of today is brought up where – You're pitching in a little league game and you're allowed to throw X amount of pitches. And then if you hit that limit, you can't pitch for 4 days. Well, what these kids are doing is they'll throw that. Then their parents will take them to a travel ball team the next day and they'll throw 70 pitches. Yep. We're doing it too much as kids. And I think it's finally catching up with us at the big league level. Back in the day, the big league level, the Tommy John, number one culprit for the Tommy John was Major League Baseball pitchers. Then it turned into Major League Baseball and minor league pitchers. Now, youth, young kids getting Tommy John, they're the number one candidate, not Major League pitchers, not minor league pitchers. So I think it's finally come home to roost the way we're playing at the younger level, the way these guys at 10, 11, 12 quit all the other sports and they just pitch year round as a 12-year-old. And I don't think that's conducive to your growth plates or whatever. I don't want to pretend like I'm a doctor here. I'm not. I just think the way we bring these kids up now and tell them, you know, travel ball and you got to play on this team and you play year round. If you want to be the best, well, let me tell you something. I think you're born a major league player. I think you're born with that level of ability. And I think all the practice in the world, if you don't have that big league ability as an 11-year-old, you're not going to be a big leaguer. So I go back to, I've always thought about this, is let kids be kids. Let them play all sports. Find out what they're passionate about. Let them enjoy their childhood and be a kid. You only get to go through it once. And I sadly to say, I think these injuries at the top level started when these kids were young, because that's how they train and that's how they come up now in the sports community.
Brett, there is an ice cream or sorbet that starts with a sure. How do you say the whole word?
Sherbert.
Sherbert? Like two R's, right?
Yeah. Sherbert.
Sherbert.
What are you going to say? It's not. Well, there's sorbet.
Yeah,
there is a sorbet.
Orange sherbet.
Yeah, that's all we needed.
Absolutely. Why? What do we got going in?
It's not spelled with a second R, so we're fighting over because a lot of people say sherbet, but it is spelled sherbet.
Absolutely sherbet. Well, I grew up in New Jersey. It's absolutely sherbet there. I know there's words that change as you go across county lines, but I'm going to stick with sherbet.
Pork roll or
Taylor ham?
Taylor ham.
Pork roll.
There it is. Spam and sherbet. That's what's covered on the home of the world champs.
I've never met anybody that says sherbet.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll have an orange sherbet.
Exactly. Exactly. Just say Bobby's an idiot.
Brett, well, I wouldn't do that, Bobby.
Come on, Brett. Brett, thank you so much, brother.
I'm too good of a guy.
We'll talk to you next time. Fantastic. That is Brett Boone, Odyssey Baseball Insider. He joins us every other hump day. And he's the host of the Brett Boone Podcast and Odyssey Original. Make sure to follow the Brett Boone Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Crosstalk with KMC is next.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.